right. Trick question. I'm really curious if you know this. What is... Eight? Whose mother is yours? She married you, raised you wrong. Yeah, depending upon culture and norms. So some of you, most people will believe not Jesus' name is Christ. But it's very interesting. It does come out with his middle name of H. Yeah. But that is actually not his last name. That would be a title. Out is technically his last name, but what does Christ, a much more technical thing, what does Messiah mean? What is the Messiah actually then mean? The one who saves, that would be Jesus' name, so Jesus means the one who saves. Yeah, this is trivia, I love stuff because it's... The anointed one. Thank you. She's a college graduate, so she's, and she graduated from Concordia last year, so that's really awesome. Yeah. So Christ means Messiah, means the anointed. We're going to hit some stuff, and I'm like, I remember reading through this, and I'm like, this, John, something is actually very much connected with what Jesus means, what Christ means, and what Messiah means, and this anointing from God. So, yes, his real last name for and Joseph, that would be Bar-Joseph. So, Bar means son of, and probably refer to him. And the word Jesus, in the Old Testament, it would be Joshua. Joshua and Jesus is the same word, and that means God saves. So, we're going to be talking about what it means to have anointing, and I think a lot of people get wigged out when we talk about anointing and Jesus, but I think it all revolves around the concept of truth. One of the things that is the ability to find out any answer to any question, though it's super simple to discover all sorts of knowledge in the world, what we have is a lack of truth, and the reason why we have a lack of truth is we have a lack of critical thinking. You're going to see how this applies as John goes on. John is writing to his parishioners, trying to help them understand more of who God is and how they are to live their life. And as they're doing it, there is a lot of distractions happening. And we talked about that a little bit. We don't need to follow the law anymore. You can just live as you please. They're called the antinomians. Then you got the docetists who say, whatever you do, you know what? Physical stuff really doesn't matter. It's all about the spiritual stuff. So however you do, whatever you do with your body is quite all right. Go, get drunk, do drugs, wreck it all you want. It doesn't matter because it's all about your spiritual life. And so all of this stuff is happening. And then there's this fight against who is Jesus. This is going to be crucial. I get asked this a lot. How do we determine what is or isn't a cult? And I'm going to use cult in a loose term. I'm going to use cult in the term of a non-Christian group. So again, if cult offends you, that's fine. What are those groups and which groups are outside of them? We're going to answer some tough questions. Where does the Jewish nation land? Where do Mormons land? Where do Seventh-day Adventists land? Where do Catholics, Baptists? And then what about those weird people called Lutherans? Where do they land? It all depends on what settles the answer. So that's some of the stuff that John is going to be tackling as we go through this. So we're going to ask some of these questions as we go on. Dear children, and again, John is a master of communication in that he starts off with positive words, trying to affirm and lift up the people who are reading this letter. He's not coming with a heavy-handed hammer. He's not coming with a tremendous amounts of guilt to try and say, what's wrong with you? Are you stupid? Why don't you follow Jesus? He comes to him with this sincere love. If you do not come with sincere love as you talk about people and their views of Jesus, I can guarantee you will turn them off faster than anything. Coming at them with love and grace is super important. Dear children, this is the last hour. And you're like, wait a second, haven't we been in the last hour? Correct word that's being translated now. We're now in the last grouping of time. There was a time that was leading up to Jesus, and then there was the time of Jesus and his first coming, and then there will be the time when Jesus will come again. So if you don't know that, Jesus is coming again. We're very excited. Does anyone here know when Jesus will come again? No, if you raise your hand and say you do, you are a liar and you are deceiving people and yourself. So if you're like, I know he will come in 1988, you are wrong. I promise you. You're delaying it, because if you guess it randomly, Jesus is going to be like, I can't come that day. Some guy named Joe put it down that I can't come that day. People will think he was right. So stop guessing when he's going to come. We don't know he's going to come. And we are living in that last era, epoch. That's the time that we're living in now. We are in the last hour. The next major event that will happen is Jesus will come again. I'm excited about it. That'd be fantastic. It would be great if he came back right now. Well, I guess I'll keep preaching then. We are in the last hour, and as you have heard, that the Antichrist is coming. Does that scare anyone? The Antichrist is coming. This is not the British are coming, though the British are a little strange. No, I'm just kidding. I love the British. I love you, Miriam. You are wonderful, and we love the British. Yeah, I was got to be. Yeah. The Antichrist is coming. Now, we get into these long discussions about the Antichrist and how to identify him, and it was really funny because we were just talking about this at our house. I remember the days when Ronald Reagan was thought to be the Antichrist. Do you remember that? Yeah. Well, because all you have to do is count. How many letters in the word Ronald? Six. How many in his middle name, Wilson? And how about his last name? He's the Antichrist! No, he's not the Antichrist. He's dead. And oh, but that would be 6666. Yeah, I don't think that. He's the extra Christ, Antichrist. Now, what's helpful about John is he helps us understand a little bit more about not cluing in on a person. And I really appreciate this about John. He doesn't want our focus to be on a specific person, like that is the Antichrist. It'd be better if you listen to what John says. What does he say? He says, even now, many Antichrists last hour. So the Antichrist, anti for the or in the place of. So if someone shows up to help us understand how to live our lives, they are an antichrist. Because Jesus said the next time he shows up, and he's going to descend, probably not the rock band, but he's going to have clouds coming down, and he's going to show up, and it's going to, that's amazing. So when Jesus shows up again, it will not be secretive. It will not be in a manger. Christ, they are standing in the place of Christ. Yes. Well, he'll probably be showing up in his resurrection. Hey, I got some holes in my hands. Just as he did with Thomas. I'm going to do that a lot when I die and come back. I'm going to go through walls. So he'll be in some sort of form, but it'll be, instead of in the place of him, also against him. So if you are against Jesus, you are now an antichrist. So again, the word antichrist just means someone who is against or in the place of. This is why we have to make some hard decisions when it comes to what groups are part of Orthodox Christianity. The easiest way to find that, if they are good on Jesus, if they believe that Jesus is the Son of God, perfect, 100% died, 100% man. He came, we sang it. He came, he lived. If that's what you believe about Jesus, then you're in Orthodox Christianity. Now, you can have a bunch of other viewpoints on some what we would call minor issues. What are some of those minor issues? I believe that we should baptize babies, but others believe we should baptize adults. I'm not going to say communion. Or how about, is God going to live and reign here on the earth for 1,000 years before we go into heaven forever? What you believe about those secondary issues is important, but it is not going to get you in or out of Christianity. Yes? Yeah, so and this is where, because if you're Satan, do you want to just throw up someone who is so antithetical to Jesus himself? No, the best way to confuse someone is to get a good knockoff. You ever been down to Hollywood? Yeah? That one of those things. Is it Prada? Is it, Louis Vuitton. Gucci? Okay. Yeah. And it was only $5, so I'm pretty sure it's real. Want to get a good knockoff, what's the best way to do a good knockoff? Make it look as real as possible. Airline, my luggage. So years ago, clothes I wore on the airplane, and they could not get the luggage to me, so there eventually came a point that I need to buy some new stuff. I like it. They just look good. I'm not a shoe guy. I'm not big on that, but I remember buying this, and I remember the first starting to fall apart, and as I was wearing them, I remember Hannah Betterton came up to me, and she's like, oh my goodness, those shoes are awesome, and I'm like, they are? My shoe? You are not. Those are looking at me. She's like, wait. Those look a lot like it. Why does your Adidas have, there's 4 stripes there. It's supposed to only have 3. And I'm like, I don't even, because others were like, oh my gosh, your shoes are a knockoff. They're to fool us is to get as close to the authentic Jesus as possible, but they're going to distort it ever so slightly. What are some of those distortions? Years ago, I still have it in my Bible questions. And I did Bible questions, creation questions, and religion questions. And I printed out what people say about Jesus. What do Buddhists say about Jesus? That's not just a band. It's the breakthrough from this world. Jesus believe. Jesus was a prophet of God, but was never crucified, but instead someone died, was a superior prophet. What do Mormons believe? Interesting twist on it. Jesus died for Adam, for the original. You've got to pay for it. It's twisted just ever so slightly. One of the famous Mormon saying that they teach their kids is, as God is, man will become, and as man is, God once was. God, Yahweh, was once a man on earth or on a planet. He did everything right. He became God and now populates this. And if you want to be a God and populate some planet later on, you just have to do everything right and you'll be set. Does that sound like what the Bible says about Jesus? A little bit odd. Seventh-day Adventists. The time comes from heaven. What does that mean? If you worship on Sunday, you're out. So sorry, chose the wrong day. Jesus is equated a created being, archangel. Was Michael the archangel? If you're created, does that mean you're God? No, that's the definition of God is he who is not created and who has existed is in what camp? Which is why we talk heavily about Jesus, because here's a news flash. All of you are going to die. We learned that from the book of Ecclesiastes. Congratulations, you're going to die. Do you know what? Jesus died. So he was just like every other, and he was raised from the dead and is the firstborn of all. Jesus, we will have eternal life. But if you start monkeying with Jesus, problems happen. And that's why here, and I'll answer a couple questions. John, that there's groups that went out from us, but they really didn't belong to us. There are groups that want to have some sort of legitimacy, you Jesus to the point where you are no longer inside the community of believers. So we've covered all of those. How about we get even our Jewish people? What about Jewish people? Orthodox Christianity. The question always, ever want to know, here's a group. Well, what do they believe? I don't really care about this. If you have Jesus, you have everything else. If you don't have Jesus, I'm going to hit them a little bit harder here and a little bit as John makes it very of Christianity, of Orthodox Christianity. Verse 20. This is where I thought John kind of an anointing from the Holy One. And I'm like, why is he talking about an anointing from the Holy One? What is the word for anointing? Do you have the Christmas? Do you have Messiah, the anointed one? So what he's trying to say is, do you have anointing? And I think that there's definitely some room to believe that anointing is some sort of special charismatic belief and preach and share God's love, and it's something otherly. That sometimes happens. There's been many a times I get done with my sermon, and I think to myself, you're like, oh my gosh, that sermon impacted me so greatly. And I'm like, that it's God is taking the words and using. There's times I've also finished preaching and I go, oh my. All right, yeah, that was a great sermon. Kind of boring, but you know, I'll give it a 3.5 out of 10. And I'm like, if you've been whipped up into a frenzy, it's not about if you stand and say hallelujah. It's not about if you dance in the aisles or shout, Jesus, you've got everything. Thank you for that, amen. See, there you go. Now it's like, there's that anointing coming. All right, yes, you got a question. So speaking in tongues, we would put that in the secondary category, right? So some people say if people are faking speaking in tongues, and some people say, no, that's actually real. In 1 Corinthians, people do have this heavenly language. Now, do I believe that sometimes speaking in other tongues can get it? It's the same thing with that. So I never discount something because someone makes it. In 1 Corinthians, if I speak in the tongue of men and of angels, but have not love, I am nothing. In tongues, it doesn't matter what you believe about it. What happens is, do you have love? Do you have Jesus Christ? If you have Jesus Christ and you're from the Holy One, and all of you know the truth that Jesus was killed, on the day that Jesus was killed. I'm going to bug some of you, and I really hope to shake you up a little bit. Twitter truth. I'm not talking about, like, what are you, sound bites that get played on the news that rile people up, and it has no, as human beings, we only have a certain capacity in our brains and in our lives. Because you all are still sitting in the exact same seats you chose the first time you walked into this building. Couple more. I know you guys, you move around, but Pam's pretty much in there. Yeah, you guys like to sit up. Plus, are you? Someone sat in your seat. See, now I've got a thing because you walk in. That's why people get offended. You're sitting in my seat. There's seats right here in the front row. They're totally empty. Can't sit there. That is the splash zone. It is the spit zone. You got to be very careful that you're not too close or else, I get on. That's why we do no shortcut. It is important that you continue. That's what Paul says. Christianity is not just an easy ascent belief in things a little bit. I never really wrestled. I would challenge you to maybe start wrestling with Christianity. That, I think, is completely wrong. I say question. Do you know why I want you to question it? Because this is the best part about it. Truth, doesn't matter if you inspect it or not inspect, doesn't matter how hard you inspect it, doesn't matter how much energy you put into research out there that'll say things like, well, once you get to a certain level, then we'll reveal a little bit more about what we. That is terrible. If you come up to me, you're like, hey, Pastor Manning, what's Christian? No secret handshake. There's no secret room we have here that's hidden that only study that one. You might get to. No. Inspect it all. Question truth. Truth never minds the inspection. If I say something and you go, I don't know if that's true, that's not heresy. That just means you're working things out. I was just speaking to someone this past week, and they were struggling with certain things like, I don't know if that's a sin. And I go, well, let's investigate. Do you believe about Twitter? Why don't you investigate it? What do you believe about abortion? Investigate it. Don't look to slogans or signs. Don't look to bumper stickers or Twitter. Don't look to something that just got reshared on the Instagram Reels. No, that's not critical thinking. Jesus is the most important thing you can spend your time on. Hear these research things, and they say that the most difficult thing is that people are ignorant and apathetic. You ask them something, and what do they say? Don't know, don't care. Comes to Jesus, don't do that. When it comes to Christianity, don't do that. When it comes to speaking in tongues, investigate. Try to figure that out. What does it actually mean? Sure, you can ask experts, but dig into the Bible. Do you believe in infant baptism? Dig into the Bible. Find out what it actually says. Learn something. Don't just take my word for it. I guarantee you I am wrong. And if you don't believe that, you can ask my wife. She will verify that I am wrong. Many a times, truth is important. That's why when you have God, you have truth. You have Jesus. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He's not a way. He's not one path up a mountain. He's not just a. Well, he's got truth, but then there's lots of other truths out there. He's not just a Jesus. Everything revolves around what you believe about Jesus. Verse 21, I do not write to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it, and because no lie comes from the truth. If you have truth, you have it all. If you have Jesus, you have it all. If you have falsehood, if you have lies, it's you have probably 98% truth and 2% falsehood. That's what Sydney was talking about, that if you can get Jesus to sound almost quite right, and that's good, but there's something askew, then that's a problem. If you believe that Jesus did not die on a cross, but it was someone else, that's not truth. If you believe that Jesus wasn't the Son of God straight from his birth, but later on became the Son of God through the anointing of the Holy Spirit at his baptism, that's wrong. It's because that's what the Bible says, and it helps us understand truth. Stop skewing Jesus. That's very dangerous. Verse 22 says that Jesus is a liar. It is the man who denies that Jesus is the anointing, the Messiah. That's why against Jesus is the Antichrist. He denies the Father and the Son. Now, this is important because it's going to ask the question, and I hate answering this question because it's one of the most challenging questions I get. No one who denies the Son has the Father. If you deny Jesus, you do not have God the Father. So that means for Jewish people who believe that Jesus was just a good man, it doesn't matter your culture. It doesn't matter if you have thousands of years of ancestry that you can trace. If you don't have the Son, you do not have the Father. Jim?
Yeah, I was just going to say that Jesus is Christianity.
Yes. Yeah. Jesus is Christianity. Without him, there's nothing. Now, the problem that we have when we talk about Jewish people is that Jewishness is a culture more than it is a belief. It is a belief, but I know lots of Jewish people who are saved, and we actually have a special terminology we use for them. We call them Jews for Jesus, Messianic Jews. They are Jewish because they have that culture and that lineage, and that is how they express their lives. But they believe that Jesus was, in fact, the promised Messiah, the promised anointed one from the Old Testament, and he lived, and he died, and he came back to life, and we put our trust in him. And in fact, Paul would say, that is a true Jew. That's what they've been waiting for their entire lives. Who were the first Christians? We're all Jews. Who is Jesus? He was a Jew, too. So we got to be careful when we talk about broad strokes. But what you believe about, this is the reason why if a Jewish person says, I believe that Jesus was just a good man, then that answers my question. If I'm at a wedding and someone says, you know, what would make me a Christian? I always ask them the question, what do you believe about Jesus? I don't ask you what church you go to, because that's irrelevant. I don't ask how many times you pray. That's irrelevant. I don't ask how many times you've read the Bible or which Bible you read or which version you read. That's irrelevant. What do you believe about Jesus? If you believe that Jesus lived, died, and rose again, that he was all God, all man, and he has forgiven you of all your sins, then you have Jesus and you have the Father. Verse 24, see that what you have heard from an inning remains in you. If it does, you also will remain in the Son and in the Father, and this is what he promised us, even eternal life. This is where we say, how do we make sure that we are part of the Christian faith? Well, it's pretty simple. Remain in God. Remain in Jesus. Remain in truth. Can you be a Christian and not go to church? Yes. Can you jump out of an airplane with a without a parachute? Yes, you can. It might remain well for you if something bad happens. For those who choose not to remain in Jesus, that's a problem. That's why church is important. Now, if you go to a church and they don't ever talk about Jesus, that's really difficult, isn't it? Find the church that says Jesus is important. Jesus is the most important thing. Remain in Jesus. Verse 26, I'm writing these things to you about those who are trying to lead you astray. There is a whole group of people out there that don't want anything to do with Jesus, God, Bible, nothing. They are vocal. They are persuasive. You got to beware of the knockoffs, and you got to beware of being duped. When Heather and I took a group to the National Youth Gathering in New Orleans, that was when the Jacob was a part of. You remember? We got duped. It was fantastic. I had some guy come up to me. Do you remember that? Yeah, the shoeshine story. So I'm there, and a guy comes up and he says, "Hey, I will shine your shoes for free. If I can't tell you where you got your shoes." And I'm like, what? And he goes, yeah, where I could tell where you got your shoes. And I go, He's like, yeah, no, something going on. So he sits down and he starts shining my shoes and he's talking and he's weaving this great story and it's wonderful. And I'm like, and I'm one of those that I am very suspicious of everybody and everything, right? If you send me a link on Facebook Messenger, I'm probably not clicking it. I don't trust you. I think you've been hacked. It happens a lot. There's lots of... So he's going on and on. And he's like, I can tell you where you got those shoes. And he said, blah, blah, blah. And he says, you got your shoes right on this street. He's like, $20, please. I did. I gave him $20. I was like, There are people that try to scam us when it comes to our faith. If you don't believe that's true, always just reread this. The world is not always a friendly place. Sometimes it's friendly. Sometimes things go well in life for you or for me. But when it comes to your faith, they're not. Everything that is out there is good. There are books that are written that claim to be Christian but are not. There are people out there claiming to be Christian, but they're not. There are people right here in this room that are not Christian and pretend to be. I'm not pointing anyone else. I'm saying this is a fact that Jesus talked about, and my job is not to point you out and say, heretic! It'd be fun. I would really enjoy that. I would really get a thrill out of it. But what does Jesus say? Do I yank those people out and say, get out of my church, you heathen? No. Love them. Care for them. If we don't love, we are nobody, we are nothing. And what we do is we allow God to just handle stuff. And we say, you know what, I love you, and I care for you, and I want this. There's people in this world that are going to try and pull you away. And that's we got to know that. If you don't, back to New Orleans, and I see, you're probably going to get hit hard. So, yeah, next time, when I've gone back to New Orleans, and I see the shoe shine got, nope, I know where I got my shoes, they're right here on the street. And that's what we need to do when it comes to Jesus. Oh, you're going to tell me something new about Jesus, something new that no one has ever discovered before, ever. They haven't. They're lying to you. Everything that we need to know about Jesus has been revealed. All right, I'm going to keep going. I'm writing these things to you about those who are trying to lead you astray. Verse 27, as for you, the anointing you received from him remains in you, and you do not need anyone to teach you. You do not need anyone to teach you. Bye. Yeah, why do you come to church? Yeah, exactly. You don't need me. Do you know that you can get everything you need to know through study? Yeah. It's amazing. Now, we come here because we gather, we study, we learn, we grow. I do some research. I tell you about it. But if the only information you are getting about Christianity and God and Jesus Christ is from me, that is a poor diet. Don't do it. Don't do it. You don't need me. You can grow in your faith, but you have to be smart. But as his anointing teaches you about all things, and as that anointing is real, not counterfeit, just as it is taught you, remain in him. That's the key. How do I know about truth? Remain in Jesus. How do I know if I'm saved? Remain in Jesus. How do I know about people that write about Jesus? Remain in Jesus. You'll know if what is being said is true or false. It's pretty obvious, but you have to remain in him. And now, dear children, continue in him. That means, yeah, you don't need me to teach you, but still be in church. You should still be growing. You should still be studying. You should still be praying. You should be doing all those things. Don't just remain in him for a little while, but continue on in him, so that when he appears, we may be confident and unashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who does what is right has been born of him. I'm pretty sure it was a fake video, but it was still fun to watch anyway. Have you ever heard this? There is some hilarity in there. But it was because I'd seen something. I don't know how I ended up watching it, but apparently at this basketball game, it was the Nets basketball game, the mascot was walking around with a diamond tester to test. Oh, yeah, now you're like, oh, this is good. I really wanted to find one. If I could do it, I could walk around and be like, do you have a real diamond? And so they get to this one couple, and they are conveniently in the front row, and they're newly engaged, and she got a rock on her thing. And so they're like, we're going to test it. And the guy is in the back, and he's like, and then the girl would look at him, and he goes, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then she would look away, and he's like, no. It was good acting. It really was. I'm pretty sure it's false. But it was really funny because they go to test it. But I actually saw some others where they actually would walk down the street, and they'd find people with these big old chains. It was usually real. But when they're like, nope, walk along, nope, I'm thinking to myself, that might be fake. Are you walking around with a fake Jesus? Is your Jesus not powerful? Is your Jesus not one who conquers death? Does your Jesus not heal or save or forgive? Is your Jesus angry and judgmental? Is your Jesus not what the Bible teaches? You have a fake Jesus. It's time to get the real Jesus. He loves you. He created you. He died for you and he rose for you. And because of his great love for you, you have the promise of eternal life for those who believe. If you don't have Jesus, you do not have eternal life. I hate saying that, and I say that not with any joy or glee in my heart, because I love you and I love everyone. I want you to have Jesus. The real Jesus is going to save, and I want you to remain in him and continue in him. Let's pray. Lord, forgive us because some of us are just walking around with